play. Look at this. Look at this.
All right, we are back for another episode of the Surrender Birdies podcast. I'm your host, Alex Dixon, and joined once again by Josh Hafkin. Josh, what's going on, man?
Hey, Alex. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. Happy to have you back on. Our last episode, if no one listened, we had another local Beltway golfer, Dom Leon. Go check that out. But as we talked about in that, Josh is going to be kind of the primary co-host, but we're going to mix it up a little bit with different Beltway golfers that either I've golfed with or communicated with over time, and just hear different stories and different opinions and takes, and just talk local golf with all sorts of different Beltway golfers. And one of the reasons I also had Dom on last time is you were out of town on a golf trip out in Delaware that we're going to talk about. Before we do that, do a quick read here for our friends at Pinned Golf. If you're listening to this and you want to support Beltway Golfer, go to pinnedgolf.com, P-I-N-N-E-D golf.com. They've got all sorts of awesome, colorful range finders. Don't break the bank. Less than $300. They've got on-course speakers. And if you enter Beltway, just the word Beltway at checkout, you get 15% off. So go to pinnedgolf.com and show them and us some love. But let's jump into it. I think we only got 30 minutes or so, so this would be a relatively quick one. But so you went down, tell us about your golf trip. You had a quasi annual golf trip down at Delaware Beaches. Give us the rundown.
So the beaches are, you know, one, I just love the courses down there. They're really beautiful, very interesting, got a lot of really cool experiences. And so, you know, my buddies and I have planned this trip for the past couple of years. And you know, I treated it a little bit differently this year in the sense that I like actually prepared. I went down and did this experience at the original golf school, which is in Ocean City, Maryland. It was a 2-day experience, had a great time. It wasn't necessarily like a golf school in the sense that they had a curriculum, you know, like it wasn't like today we're working on long game or, you know, long iron, short iron, putt it, blah, blah, blah. It was more maybe like a big group lesson where there was a lot of individual attention.
Okay. But where was it? Was it at a golf course? Where was it?
Yeah, Glen Riddle, outside of Ocean City. Really cool course with also a lot of history. For anybody interested in horse racing and like the history behind that, it's the former home of Man of War, War Admiral, and Secretariat. So it's like a very famous, you know, site. And they have all this amazing memorabilia. The two courses on the grounds are named War Admiral and Man of War. So like there's a lot of history there. And I was going through the clubhouse and looking through like Man of War's, you know, career earnings in 1926, and it was like $20,000, which much as it felt like millions and millions. But it was a really, you know, it was a really great experience. I really enjoyed my instructors, and I've really taken something from each person that I've learned, you know, and had some instruction with. And it really set me up really well for the golf trip. It's something that I've kind of not done before. Like, hey, like I'm usually I just go and have fun, but I actually like wanted to play well on this golf trip. And so I did this, and you can check them out, theoriginalgolfschool.com. If you're in the, you know, Maryland, D.C. area, you can come in very easily. They've got weekend things as well, and highly recommend.
That's cool.
Have you ever done any one of like those 2-day little immersion experiences?
I you know what? I haven't, you know, it's funny. I joke about this with my regular foursome, how, you know, I've had plenty of PGA professionals on the podcast and know a lot, all many of them friends at this point. Yet I'm always talking about, I'm just crappy about taking lessons. I'm basically you're like any average hack golfer that just doesn't prioritize getting better with a professional, like the way I should, like so many golfers. So no, I could I use that? Probably, but no. So good for you for doing it.
Dude, you know, it's interesting. You know, most adults learn golf in the worst and most efficient way possible. You do it by yourself, you know, at the end of the day, when your brain is tired in, you know, 45 minutes, once you put the kid to sleep with zero instruction. And we expect ourselves to get better, you know, that it. And so I've really tried to like lean in to the instruction side of things more. And so, yeah, man, I think that one, whether you're a really great golfer or a more casual golfer, if you've got a great trip that you really care about, it can't hurt to go get a tune-up from either your instructor or something like this. And then you go into the trip feeling much more confident. At least I did. You know, like I wrote my guys an email after the dude's trip and said, hey, like, thank you guys so much. I felt really confident and, you know, it helped my play a lot. So very much recommend that. But, you know, to get into the trip, it's a unique format. So what we do is we go and we play the midway par three. It's an 18 hole par three, and we score individually, and each person, you know, then gets a ranking. And then the top seed gets paired with the last seed. So essentially the most consistent person gets paired with the least consistent person. And then the next day we do a team scramble event based on those rankings from the day before. So it's a blast, man.
I like it. So the rankings are just based on that one round, or like handicaps coming in, or just on one round?
Just one round. It gets a little dicey. And right now we're kind of all at the same level. So like in time, I think we will have to apply a little bit more handicap rule. Yeah. Great. And you know, what was really amazing is that my teammate played above his eight seed. You know, he really was the one who would go up there, hit a great shot and give me, you know, a lot of ability and take so much pressure off of me to go up and be like, oh, maybe I'll try to get a little closer. Maybe I'll try something new. We already have this good shot out in the fairway or on the green, whatever. So yeah, man, it was a great guys trip. I think that like Dewey and the Rehoboth, Bethany, Ocean City area is a wonderful place for a trip. And, you know, between the golf school and the experience, it was, you know, set me up really well for success. And I got right here, I'll show you my official championship. Got my jacket right here.
Got a little green jacket. I like that. So nice touch.
The Dewey Masters. Yes. You know, so I'm going to be rocking this around the course, looking good. And
that looks like it's got an Augusta National patch on there. Yeah. Where'd you pull that?
We got these from Amazon. They're 40, 50 bucks. They look really nice when you turn them on. You can tell they're a little crappier.
Somebody in China is making green jacket knockoffs and hasn't felt the wrath of Augusta National quite yet.
Exactly. But like, yeah, I think one of the things about a great group trip is just everybody leaning in really hard. And that's what our crew did. And so, you know, we had a blast. And I think that like, the more that we can all do those things, as you get older, it's hard to find those touch points. And then you have kids and then you're coaching and whatever. And so each year we know, you know, April, mid-April, we're going to be doing this. And if you get an invite, you get an invite for life. So, you know, that's huge.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. I want to hear about more and more different peoples. There's so many little groups like that, 8, 12, 16, 20. You know, there's I know anecdotally, and I've been on a couple of groups that are much larger, 36, 72, 80, that go on these regular trips. One of the older guys in my regular foursome, who I play golf with a lot, I mean, he's got four of these types of trips built into his calendar with four different groups of friends the entire year, which
I love that.
I'm sure there's a lot of guys out there like that. I'm not one. I've kind of got, you know, one kind of group that I go on a trip like that with. But he's got his high school buddy's trip. He's got his college buddy's trip. He's got a trip with like the guys he plays with golf nowadays, which I'm part of. You know, he's got another trip that I think maybe be some work people. I don't know, but he's got,
love it.
He's got, so his calendar is just stacked.
Good for him.
Give us the rundown. We already talked a little bit of Delaware golf on a previous episode, give us the rundown of the courses you played.
Yeah. So really, you know, we played a couple of courses in the beach area. Highly recommend a lot of them. And there's kind of something for everybody. There's higher end courses. There's those, you know, lesser, I don't know what you call lesser than courses.
Sure.
I think that we do it right in the sense that, you know, we go play the midway. And if anybody's, you know, ever been there, it's essentially a field. There's no bunkers. You know, it's really basic golf, but it really does a great test of can you hit an approach shot, a chip and a putt? And if you could do that consistently, the cream will rise to the top.
Midway is great. I mean, Midway, I haven't been there in years and years and years, but it's a pitch and putt. It's 9-hole par three course, right? Par 27?
18.
Oh, it is 18.
18-hole. Yeah, spans from, I think, like 65 to 150 yards is like the longest.
Gotcha.
You could fly through it. You could fly through 18 in you know, 2 hours if there's, you know, nobody ahead of you slowing you down.
And it's only a couple miles from the strip of bars in Dewey, right? Yeah.
Yep. It's great. Either heading into the beach or out of the beach. It's kind of at the top of Coastal Highway there. And it's not as far up as the Rookery and like all that stuff, but a little bit further down. I'll play it on the way in or out of the beaches. And I highly recommend it. Is tough, you know, when it's like midsummer getting up and down Coastal Highway. Like sometimes that could be an hour to get up and down. And that's pretty brutal. But like right now, it's great. And then we played Baywood Greens on the Augusta of the North, they say, as many people say.
Right.
But
as they say, as their marketing department says.
Exactly. And so, you know, it was a really beautiful course, full bloom, you know, really, really, I really enjoyed it because it had a lot of, there were, you know, it had woods, it had water, it had, you know, holes that were pretty, you know, fairly straightforward and can you execute? And it had holes that kind of messed with your mind. There was one I was thinking of, I can't remember exactly, but it's kind of it goes up and then slight dogleg right. And, you know, essentially there's sand over here to the right, there's sand over here to the left, and water straight ahead before the dogleg. And so in your mind, you're standing on the tee box and you're like, I got sand, water, sand. Like, what am I aiming at? And the mind, you know, the mind mess is you're aiming for the water. Like, you're not going to reach the water. It's, you know, probably 350, whatever out there. But just visually, when you're standing on the tee box, it messes with you. So I really loved everything from, like, you know, the course was beautiful to some of those mind games that it was playing with us throughout the round.
Baywood Greens is a fun course. I've only played it once, really enjoyed it. Obviously spend a huge amount of money on their flower setup. Well, that was going yet, but I think that's certainly, if you're in that area, that's a must play, because that's a really nice course. I love their range setup as well. They got a nice little,
yes. Have you played Bear Trap? That's the other one that's around.
Yeah, I haven't played. Nice. Yes, they got 3-9s over there. I haven't played Bear Trap. I've heard. I think last time, my last trip to Delaware on a golf trip, Bear Trip was on our list. And there's something going. They either had some weather, or they were redoing their greens, or something was going on, so we had to cancel it. But I've heard some mixed reviews about Bear Trap. But I would like to hear. I'm gonna try to find some of the crazier golf trips as that are just like big. I want to hear about the big golf trips where, like, as far as volume of people, because I know they're out there. You know, like 70-100 people and. Because those are the ones where there's stories. I haven't been on a big one like that in a couple of years. There was one I used to go to through a buddy of mine, and it was his boss would put together. And it was usually down in Myrtle, but he would switch it up every once in a while. But I went to two of their trips on Myrtle, and it was a big 3 or 4 day event where it was employees and clients. And yeah, it was like, you know, and these aren't that rare. I mean, a lot of people do this stuff. Yeah. But it was like, man, the money they spent on this. And everyone had houses, and you played, like, you know, 36 holes a day. And it was, because it was such a big group, there was a lot of stories, you know, a lot of stories that can't be repeated. A lot of stuff, you know, it was a lot of fun. And I was just kind of an onlooker, being a friend of one of the employees, but man, we had a good time. Anyway, moving on. So I played a couple of rounds since we last talked. I'd love to talk about the first one, or the most recent one I want to talk about is, so a buddy of mine had a 1757 in Ashburn. So 1757 in Ashburn, it's been around for 20 something years. It was originally planned to open up as a private golf course. It was going to be a 36 hole facility with two separate locations. 18 where they are now, 18 other. I think some financing fell through. Anyway, so they opened up as a public course, and we're public course for a long time. I played it a few times, you know, 10 plus years ago, but hadn't really played it. They have a great training, you know, great range, nice little bar.
Yeah, I'm looking at the map now.
Yeah, in the last 18 months, they switched to private. I posted, I think I did a post on Instagram couple months ago about 1757. I did a drone video, but didn't actually play the course that day. I just stuck the drone up in the air.
Nice.
And got some DMs about, you know, people's opinions or people that had joined the course since they went to private, how, you know, basically their business model, it's not really a country club. They switched to private, you know, just as a business model, but the entry fees, or excuse me, the membership dues are not very high, but they also, they either have a very high cap, or some people were claiming they have no cap on their membership. I find that part hard to believe, but whatever the membership cap is, it's really high. And so it's hard to get a tee time, even if you're a member. And if you do get a tee time, it can get really slow out there. 1757, for folks that are listening, and a lot of folks I'm sure have played it, there's a lot of place to lose your golf ball. They've got there's a lot of dead area, a lot of out of bounds, there's a lot of water, even though the property is not very big. Anyway, so a buddy of mine got a foursome at a charity auction, and we went out and played it last Friday. And it was one of those ones where you get out there, and I'm sure a lot of people have this with different courses, and it's not until you're actually like on the first tee, you're like, man, I actually don't remember as much about this course as I thought. Maybe it's been longer than I realized since I played this. And because it didn't look as familiar as I remembered. Anyway, the front nine, long story short, what I'm getting at here is I like the course a lot less than I remembered. The front nine, it's one of these courses, like we started teeing off from the blues, which are, you know, 6150, 6200 yards. And we started losing balls in a hurry. The front nine has a few holes that are so jammed in. They've got a couple holes, and there's one hole I really want to, I mean, I'm not trying to.
I'm looking at the map right now.
I'm not trying to really crap on 1757 here, because it ended up being a really fun day, but there's one hole specifically. I got to pull up my map here. Number six. Good gosh. Number six is jammed into this corner of the property where it's such a hard dog leg right with water kind of in the gap. If you're trying to cut anything, that cutting it is impossible. And then on the corner of the dog leg is a bunker. And the challenge is, if you don't put it in the fairway, if it even just leaks into the first cut to the right, the grass is cut so short that it just rolls right into the water.
Nope.
So even if you do have a nice shot, you still got to go over the water the second time. So it's one of these holes that it's so penal. There's no options. And
that's if tough.
And the real challenge of this is there's a lot of holes like this. Is play gets really slow. And we saw that. Mm-hmm. And so play got slow quick. The back nine sped up a bit, but the front nine, you know, the vibe just was not good. Everybody's kind of shooting glances at each other. Like it just, like the front nine, I was like, man, you ever have that feeling in a golf course where it's tough, like, it just feels like there's going to be an altercation here somewhere, because everyone just seems like everyone's losing golf balls. It's slow play. And you're like, man, it's almost like a little bit of a tense atmosphere, even though it was like a beautiful day. Anyway, it smoothed down on the back nine. We all started playing better on the back nine. The other thing I gotta mention, I'm gonna post a couple pictures of this. Ashburn is known these days as basically, I don't know what the statistic is, but powering whatever it is, 70% of the world's internet, some crazy number like that. That might be high. Because it's like there's just massive data centers everywhere, and they're still being built, and there's no signs of slowing down how many data centers are being built. Anyway, right over the 12th hole, it is almost comical how close they just built a data center. I'm going to send it, but it's like, I don't know if 177 is planning on planting some trees, but it is hilarious. I mean, it's literally 15 yards to the left of play. Maybe not left of fairway, but the left. There is a just massive, giant gray box blocking out the sun. It's. I mean, of course, it's separate property. They can do whatever they want, but I'm not sure I've encountered anything on a golf course that kind of overbearing. Pretty hilarious.
That's what happens. Amazon comes to town, and we're building data centers. I don't care about your golf course.
We ended up having a fun round out there, and things calmed down in the back nine. But the front nine, man, I was kind of like, man, I forgot how tight this course is, and there's just so many places to lose golf balls. It's really the kind of golf course that there was no starter, and it was a Friday, but it was a beautiful day. The course was packed. There was no starter. There was no marshal, and it's the kind of place. I get it's private now, and a couple of the guys in our group hadn't played before, but it's the kind of place where they're gonna be like, these are the tees you should be playing, because if you're not playing the right tees, you guys are going to slow up play. You're going to lose a lot of balls, and you're going to have a miserable day.
Well, the thing that I hate about that is generally you're waiting on tee boxes or in different things, and then you're rushed for your shot. And
right,
like,
there's another group right behind you.
Exactly. And it's like it's always like the worst possible situation. It's not like you get your shot and then there's time afterward. Like it's, it's just it breathed that anxiety, and I completely agree.
Yeah.
What were your other rounds like?
So the other round I played was, there's another, well, there's a couple, two more I want to talk about. One is kind of the opposite of that, which was played South Riding for the first time also in many years. Hadn't played. I've played their kind of, I think they're still kind of brother sister course, Pleasant Valley. I've played that more in recent years. South Riding was another one I didn't realize how long it had been. And South Riding is one of those ones that generally doesn't get a great reputation. I also posted some pictures on Instagram of that one.
Why do you think that is?
I think they had a reputation of not having great conditions. It's not, the layout is, you know, it's not the greatest architecturally layout. There's houses kind of everywhere. It's a really a residential course.
Gotcha.
However, the day we went, course was in fantastic condition. The greens were running like crazy fast. I had no issues with the condition whatsoever. The greens are in fit, and they've got some fun, cool greens that have, you know, a lot of movement to them. You know, we left there. We actually played that on the day of the eclipse, which really didn't affect anything. You know, it felt
like,
I mean, we finished right as the, like right before the eclipse really went into full thing. And so we were in the parking lot afterwards with the goggles on. But gotcha. It basically, you know, and everybody listening was around, I'm sure it was around here, but it was like there was it got a little cloudy. That's what it felt like. It's not,
yeah,
like,
sure.
Like it got dark. But my point is, like, we left South Riding kind of with the sense that this is kind of an underrated course that's got, as long as it can, you know, it's not the sexiest. And there are some, you know, some holes where the townhomes that are, you know, lining a hole is a little bit, you know, nobody loves townhomes lining a hole, but you know, it is what it is. But I found that course, I'd absolutely get out there again soon and play it again. I enjoyed it. And then the last one I'll talk about, this is another fun one. We played the East Potomac Blue Course.
Ah, the best.
And it was more not talking about the course. It was talking about our pairing. We got paid up with a character. Gosh, I'm going to forget his name, but I was communicating with him on Instagram the other day, but we got paired up with a guy who shows up with, he's got a burning tree, younger guy, he's got a burning tree bag, I think. You know, he's got a burning tree belt, burning tree shirt. He's got a Columbia Country Club hat. He's got, you know, the Chevy Chaser Columbia bag.
Wow.
He's got all the, and
a couple grand on the outfit.
Right. But he comes in with really big energy. And so your first thought is, okay, what's this guy trying to represent? Turns out, he's a caddy. He's a caddy at Burning Tree. Used to be a caddy at Chevy Chase.
Oh, nice.
And the guy just, he was a riot. And he was telling all kinds of Burning Tree stories. He's still an active Burning Tree caddy. And had a really good time with him because he was kind of, you know, sharing some stuff about, you know, about who he caddies for and who's out at Burning Tree and some of the caddy days. You know, he's telling us about Mondays at Burning Tree and the caddies and how much money they throw around on their little money matches on Mondays. So it was a lot of fun. I'm going to stay in touch with him and hopefully share some stuff about Burning Tree. That's still one of the few courses in this area that I've never played.
Definitely hit him up.
Well, he's not the guy to get me on. He's just a caddy, but you know, inching closer, get out there. But
that's awesome. Caddies are the best, man. Generally, they are wonderful conversationalists, great stories, and you know, used to hanging out with random people and having good combos.
Sure, and it really also went to reiterate, you know, I've kind of settled in a little bit to my regular golf foursome, and there's five or six guys that kind of comprise that foursome. And I don't play as much as I used to. And this is a shame on me, where you just go out as a single or a twosome and get paired up. And sure, sometimes you just need that reminder that you just meet hilarious people and fun folks when you get paired up. And he was just a riot. He was the kind of guy that I went out as a twosome, but I called my buddy that I normally play with. And we were just kind of joking about some of the stuff he said. And just the kind of, the guy was playing music. He was dancing. He was just like a different energy level than I'm used to. But it was a good time.
You need that out on the course, man.
Sure. I know you got to go here a few minutes. It's going to be a little bit shorter, but I did want to mention I think this is going to get posted on May 1st. So it's probably a little bit late, but anybody that's listening to it on the day National Links Trust put out their renderings of Rock Creek Park. Did you see those?
I did. Very exciting.
Yeah, it looked fantastic. I actually just
went and played Rock Creek Park on Friday. It's still open for those who, I thought it was closed. And I believe for a while when you look online, it would say it was closed, but it is open. It is functioning. They are running camps and programs there. So definitely give them some love. I think a lot of people think that it might still be closed, but yeah. Back to you.
My kid loves the little five hole loop they have that they turn the back nine into.
Yeah.
But it was funny. So, well, I want to say they put out a notice. There's a final comment session. I'm not phrasing that right through the Maryland National Capital Planning Commission that I think is happening on this Thursday, May 2nd. So this podcast is getting posted on May 1st.
That's correct.
A lot of time, but I think you can join the Zoom meeting and comment, I think you can even enter a written comment, but the deadline is May 1st. It's probably a little late for that. But I think they're just trying to ensure that there's nothing negative happens in the final hour to make sure that they're so close to getting this started. They're so close to like actually breaking down. They don't need any surprises to delay this further. So they're asking for the golf community. They're like, hey, jump in, comment just to make sure that there's, you know, nothing that the pros outweigh anybody that might pop up and be anti.
Yeah. I made a comment. I think, you know, nice. Rock Creek has been a wonderful place for me to grow and learn. And I think that, you know, of the three courses, it's, you know, probably the one that I personally think is the most interesting, but probably gets the least amount of love between the three. So I'm really excited. And I think that, you know, up here in kind of like Northwest DC or like in that, you know, closer to Silver Spring, you know, it's tough to get to either Langston or East Poe, depending on time of day. Like, so I've got friends invite me to East Poe and I'll say, what time? Like, no, absolutely not. Like zero chance. So excited to get Rock Creek Park up and running again. Those renderings look absolutely stunning. And it's about, you know, my home courses are Rock Creek and Sligo. So I'm about to get a big old upgrade over here.
Love it. I will say, so one of the things back to 1757, one of the guys in our group who's in commercial construction was kind of joking because there's a Wegmans right up the street from 1757 on Waxpool Road there in Ashburn. That he said that 1757 kind of felt like a golf course version of a Wegmans, just like like kind of the design of it and all. Like it does kind of have that feel. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like shopping at a Wegmans. They got a great hot bar and all that. But it kind of like just like there's not a lot, you know, it's a little bit dated. And somehow the conversation did, I forgot which one of us mentioned that, but, or mentioned that the Rock Creek renderings, they look fantastic. They look out of this world. And there's a lot of brown. And so that's like, be wary of looking like a Wegmans is all I'm going to say to the folks that are actually putting that together. Because when there's so much brown, it can look, it can get dated. That's all. But regardless, I'm so excited. Yeah. I'm reiterating the same thing, but so excited for what it looks like and for it to actually happen. I think we're still probably a couple of years away, assuming everything goes to plan. But I'm sure they'll start to finally get these things going in phases too. Yeah, I mean the first phase is just the clubhouse and the range.
Yeah,
and then once that's done and open, then they're going to do the golf course. So it's going to be a while, but they put out a great video to kind of get people excited.
I see it being a big, like not only a gathering place, but an economic stimulus for the park. Like I see that place being slam packed, you know, on beautiful nights. And I think it's going to be something that the community is going to rally around. That's one of the things that I wrote in and said, like, you know, we're missing these third spaces a lot. People used to go to the library. People used to go to community center. People used to go to these places. And the more that we take away those third places, the more it's harder for us to come together. There's more divisiveness. There's more, you know, inability to relate. And that's why I wrote that I think this is a valuable, you know, worthwhile endeavor for the region, for the area, for golf. And my hope is that, you know, there are no issues and they do, you know, are able to break through with this thing pretty quickly here.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. And to your point, I think a lot of people might think it's closed because they do close for a couple of the winter months.
Yeah.
So they might think it's still close, but so yeah, Yeah, but let's put a wrap on that. I know you got to run. Yep. Enjoyed it. We'll chat with you soon.
Thank you, Alex.
All right, Josh. Talk to you soon. Appreciate it.